Good morning, folks, and welcome to each and every one this morning. We are so glad to see you in the Lord's house. Isn't it good to be able to be in the Lord's house? I tell you, I'm so glad that we live in America, that we have the freedom to come and express our faith. And I'm so thankful to see wonderful people like you who love the Lord and are here to seek His guidance in your life and to honor Him and to praise Him. Welcome in the name of Jesus. You're so important to this church. You are such an encouragement one to another. Thank you for being here. I want to share with you, this will be our text this morning from Isaiah 64. And what it is, this is really a prayer for the one. There's one praying here, and they're asking God for what we're seeking for in another week or so of revival. And listen to what he says. Oh, that thou wouldest rid the heaven, and that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence, as when the melting of fire burneth the fire, cometh the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thy adversaries, that thy nations may tremble at thy presence. When thou didst tremble things which we look not for, thou comest down, the mountains flow down at the presence. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither have the eyes seen, O God, besides thee, what he hath prepared for them that wait on him. Thou meetest him that rejoices and worketh righteousness, those that remember thee in thy way. Behold, thou art wrought, for we have sinned. In those is contempt, and we shall be saved. But we are as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. But thou hast hid thy face from us, and hath consumed us because of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father, and we are the clay, and thou art potter, and we are the work of thy hand. Be not wroth with sore, O Lord, neither remember iniquity forever. Behold, see, we beseech thee, we are of thy people. The holy cities are of wilderness. Zion is a wilderness. Jerusalem is desolate. Our holy and our beautiful house, where our fathers praised thee, is burned up with fire, and all our pleasant things are laid waste. Wilt thou refrain thyself from these things, O Lord? Wilt thou hold thy peace and afflict us very sore?
For hymn of worship, we use your number 224, sing the first and the fifth verse, Benny, I have a prayer. That's all I'm saying.
There's within my heart a melody, Jesus whispers sweet and low. Coming back to
Dear God, we come this morning and we come, Heavenly Father, with thanksgiving. Mighty God, we have experienced once again another week of your love and your concern, your compassion and your help. And Heavenly Father, you've helped us over things we have been faced with. You've given us strength to endure the things we've had to deal with. And Heavenly Father, you've showed us the right ways to go. And Heavenly Father, you've blessed us with our daily provisions, and we thank you so much for that. You've blessed us with wonderful people that has come around us and helped us, Heavenly Father, and we thank you for that. We thank you for the good people gathered here this morning in the name of Christ, Heavenly Father, because they are great encouragement one to another. They strengthen each other by just being present, Heavenly Father. We pray, Heavenly Father, this morning as we come together and honor you and thank you, that you will bless each person that is gathered here this morning, Heavenly Father. Deal with them with a kind and generous way. And Heavenly Father, that help us to see the way you'd have us to go. Equip us, Almighty God, to be able to endure this coming week, the things that we'll be faced with. And we always praise you for this. We thank you for that. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the Holy Spirit that guides and directs us in our lives. And we, Heavenly Father, want to just say thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
For communion hymn, music number 268, sing the first and last verse.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? Fire in the blood, fire in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, wonder working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you do service for Jesus or me?
Again, we're just so thankful for another day of life you've given us, another opportunity to be in your house to hear your word proclaimed. As we take this special time in our service to get around thy table and partake of the emblems that are put before us, the loaf is a broken body of our Lord Jesus, and the blood is the shed blood for the juice and heat we have got to partake. We just thank you for the opportunity that we do have to do these things. We're thankful for these freedoms that you have. That is upon us, and we're just thankful for all the men and women that fight for our freedoms. And as we get to partake of these emblems, Father, remember the sacrifice that was made for each and every one of us. And forgive us, Father, for we fail you. For these things we do pray in your Son's heavenly name. Amen.
Amen.
You folks never fail to amaze me. You really don't. This church family. To see you doing what the Lord would have you to do and caring for each other and providing for each other and supporting each other. Once again this week, I saw that tremendously, and man, I feel so good to be a part of you. Thank you for your kindness that you demonstrated this week to Homer and the Lee family. Tremendous. Thank you. But you do that all the time, and that's great. I just love the way this family comes together when there's a need or if people are hurting, and they come together to help them. That's great. Thank you. Just a couple of weeks away from our revival, and hopefully things is going okay with everybody that's making their plans and helping out with that. If you don't, well, let us know, and we'll try to help in some way we can. And we're looking forward to a good time in the Lord. And it's going to be interesting to be able to hear all the other guys, especially from this area that we don't get to hear, and share with us. And so we're kind of excited about that. And so we hope that you'll continue to pray about it and to encourage others, and hopefully that you'll make plans to be here and to support the revival each night and to be a part of that and be blessed by it. And so we look forward to that and just keep praying for it. We've been talking about revival for the last few weeks. We'll talk about it this week, next week, and then we'll be right into it. Also, this will, you know, it's going to be a busy week for you folks, and I hope we haven't piled too much upon you. I don't think we have. You know, God will always provide for you and help you to do those things. So we're going to have hymn sing on Sunday, go right into revival on Monday night, and then we'll have our Sunday kind of celebrating the centennial. So it's going to be a real busy week for you, and God will help us and bless us through it. And it's just kind of looking forward to a good time. And I know you people, what you people do, God will make it happen. Thank you for that. Anything else? Okay. Kathleen, you're not leaving this week, are you? You leaving this week? Okay. Bless your heart. So we'll be missing you, and we pray things will go well for you and your sister. We really do. As we look at our prayer time, we have several people yet on our prayer list, and continue to pray for them and to support them in any way you can. Your prayers are very much needed, and your prayers are do a tremendous thing for our people. And so we got the extra ones on the prayer list this morning. Okay, but we do have Michelle Lee that was here Friday, and she had an operation last week, and we pray that things will go well with her, that God will strengthen her and heal her. Also, we have Evelyn Lyons, who is a niece of Virginia here, and having some tests and so forth. And so we just pray those things will work out, and things will come out good for them. We know, and we've experienced God's goodness and God's great hands. And for you folks that don't know, as I told you, we went to the doctor and saw the heart doctor this week, and things, measurements is all the same. And so the doctor, he's scratching his head, and he said, well, what we're going to do, we'll go another 3 months. And so, you know, he just can't believe they're staying good, you know. Still there, and anything could happen, but bends are staying stable. I just praise God, you know, and I just praise God for it. Thank you for your prayers. And so he says, if the next 3 months, if they're staying the same measure, then he said, we might just go longer. So that's great. So we appreciate that. Appreciate your prayers and that. It's a wonderful God works in people's lives, and we experience it. And we look around and see how God has worked in other people's lives. And we know that God will work in these people's lives that we pray for. And guys, it is so good to know that we have a God that is concerned about our well-being. And it's so good to know that we have people, Christian brothers and sisters here in the church, that is concerned about each other's well-being also. And that makes a great difference, my friend. That makes a great difference in people's lives. So thank you for that. So every one of these folks on our prayer list, continue to pray for them. encourage them in any way that you can. Our service people, keep in their prayers. Our nation itself and all the leaders of our nation, regardless of what the political thing and how you feel about it and so forth, pray that God will stir them and help them and that they'll look to God, you know. God's willing to do and God's ready to do. It's just as do we want him to do? And so as we seek him in our lives, as we seek him in our nation and our activities, and if our people, if our leaders will seek him, he'll give them guidance. And so let's pray that, I guess the big prayer we need is pray that our leaders will look to God for direction. And if they do, we know that we'll go in the right way. We'll go in the right way. I pray for those in the care homes and those that are not able to be about by themselves. And pray for one another. Pray for one another. God is so good. And God is good to this church family. And we praise him for it and thank him for it.
For prayer hymn, using number 96, sing the first and fourth verse, and Doodle will have a prayer. Let's all stand.
Are you weary? Are you heavy hearted? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you grieving? Overjoyed and hearted? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known.
Invitation hymn is 338. This time now the choir brings.
Son of God disposes.
Thank you, Kathleen and choir. I was singing that song this morning. I wasn't getting all of it, though. I'd forgot half of it. So you helped me. That's great. It's wonderful. Love that. I love that song. Back to Isaiah 64, as we read at the beginning of our service. And as I said, this is a prayer. This is actually a prayer, and I believe it's Isaiah speaking here, to get a little bit of what's going on. They're in captivity. Jerusalem is destroyed. The holy temple has been burnt down. And so Isaiah is saying this, and if you could get a feel of his heart, and he says, the holy place, the holy temple, the place where God has spoken to us before is gone. And he's praying now. He's praying for this to come back. He realizes God is angry at them. You know, God is angry at sin. He's really not angry at you or me. He's angry at our sin. And when we do sin and God is angry, he has to turn away from us. God can't deal with sin. And so Isaiah realizes that God's loving hand is not upon them right now, that Thaner's in disarray, and they're not under his protection. And that's a hard thing, I think, for Isaiah to take here, to realize, you know, and I think if people would realize that when we go away from God, we take ourselves out from under his protection. And you know, God wants to do for us, but if we withdraw, he doesn't force himself on us. And that's what has happened here. And so we'll see in this passage several things, hopefully. What I see here, and I titled this message, and I didn't get it to Donna fast enough, is that when God comes down. Now, when God comes down, we can have a real revival. And that's what he's wanting. He's wanting God to come down. You know, we have agreed, I think, that we need in our lives, in our families, in our church, and in our nation, we need revival. We need to be revived. Revival is drawing close to God. Revival is grasping again the goodness of God in our lives. And that's what he's saying. God, will you come down? You know, sometimes, and we talked about that people try to manufacture revival. But we said, the president can't bring revival to us. We said, the military forces can't bring revival to us. And man can't manufacture revival. Revival has to come from above. When God's people will want it and ask for it, God will come down. And that's what Isaiah says here in the first verse. Oh, that thou wast rent, and that word rent, open up heaven. If you will open up heaven and come down, wouldest thou come down from the mountains, might flow down at thy presence. So in times past, we see in the scripture in times past, God came down. God came down. When Jesus came down, Jesus brought God to us. He came down and Jesus showed us God. We see various times that God came down. And in this passage, I think he recognizes here, and when the melting of fire burneth and causes the waters to boil, to make the name known to thy adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. I think he has somewhat of the idea of Mount Sinai. When God came down and the mountain shook and the people were shaken and trembled because of the sight of God, the terribleness of God was there, so to speak, and the people just fell away and so forth. And so God came down, and that's what Isaiah is wanting. God, come down to us. And that's what we talked about the psalmist. You know, he said, won't you revive us again that we might experience your blessings, the joy, that we might be able to rejoice in your goodness, you know. And that's really what we want. And We would love to have the nation, the world revived, that we could just bathe in God's goodness, you know, and just be blessed of God's wonderful hand of love and so forth. So most seek God, you know. We seek God when we have difficulties. We seek God for different things for our family, and we seek God for our church family and so forth. But one of the things I think we kind of miss is the fact, do we really seek His face? As we mentioned in 2 Corinthians 7:14, it says, you know, if you will turn from your wicked ways and seek my face, really, and seek me, and seek God Himself, see. And we just don't want His hand to work in our lives. We want God to be with us. We want the presence of God. We want to experience what God has for us. And so yes, it's good to pray for our needs and so forth, but we want God to come down and be a part of that. We want God to be a part. And that's what He's saying. Won't you open up heaven and come down, and we see the terribles, you know. Come down from the mountain. The mountain will melt. Now, I don't think He's speaking about the, you know, Mount Sinai didn't melt down, you know, and flatten out. In the, it was there. But I think when He says here that the mountains, He's talking about pride. I think He's talking about those things that hinders us from having revival with God. I think He's talking about pride. I think He's talking about bigotry. I think He's talking about the racism that we have. And I think that these are the indifferences that we have that keeps us really from God. That the obstacles here to God's work. You know, as long as we have hatred, as long as we have this disunity, As long as we have all this turmoil in the world, God can't do nothing with it. I say He can't. You understand what I say? He can't. You know, people just won't let Him. God wants to, but He can't, because those are obstacles in our way. And until we get rid of the hatred, until we get rid of the pride and the bigotry and the indifference and things, that these are obstacles that keeps us from having revival, really. And when God comes down, look what He says in sinners. He says in verse 2, and know thy, and to make thy name known to thy adversaries. And these are sinners. Adversaries of God are sinners, people who are working against God. Anything that is against God is sin. And He says adversaries. And so when He comes down, sinners are going to be shaken. And that's the kind of revival I'd like to see. I'd like to see not only the Porter Christian Church have a revival, I'd like to see this nation, this state, this nation, our world, have a revival that shakes sinners. You know, I started to tell you about the atheists that attended the Cane Ridge revival back in 1801, you remember last week. And you see, you remember what I said? He said that he was in that crowd, and he felt this power coming over him in such a way that he knew something's going to happen, and he ran to the woods to get away from it, you see. But what I'm saying, and what he's saying here, God, what Isaiah is saying, God, when you come down, your almighty power works in people's lives, and sinners are shaken up. And, you know, and we're sinners too, you know. And maybe we need a little shaking up, you know. But it does. And so he said, Isaiah recognizes here in the fact, God, if you would just come down, and if you will make known to your adversaries, hey, things will change. People will change. I can picture that atheist guy, can't you? I think about him quite often since I've read his story. And how he was trying to get in the way. He didn't want God to change him, you know. He didn't want the power of God on him. Wouldn't it be wonderful, I mean, if the power of God had come over him and he had accepted that, and he went back home and told his atheist brothers and sisters about it. But you know, it's a very true thing. People reject God. People reject the power of God. Just like that atheist man, he ran to the woods. People run to the woods to try to get away from the power of God working in their lives. You know why? Because they want to do their own thing. They want to do what they think, and they want to do their own thing. They want to participate in this and that, which is not according to God. They want to get away from God. And a little more, he talks about that here a little bit there. So make your he said, make your name known so your adversaries will shake. And we need some of this shaking. What is that old song? We need a whole lot of shaking going on. Shaking these things up for us, oh God. Earlier in this, if we back up to in chapter 63, we can see the beginning of the prayer really there. He remembers the great work that God had did for Israel. And again, I mentioned Mount Sinai because if you remember, and in reading that story back there, that how that the people trembled, boy. And even godly people. But of course, those people trembled. Why? Because they had disobeyed God. And they had sinned. And they disobeyed God. And that caused the trembling. But I tell you, when God comes down and among this people, the righteous people recognize that too. Not only the unrighteous will be bugged by it and shaken up by it, but the righteous people also will too. When the lost see something they can't explain, the Holy Spirit convictions falls and the sinners begin to shake, you know. And so, yeah, I would like to see a revival in our nation that would shake up all of us, and especially those who are such criminal-minded and such immoral-minded and so forth, and that they would see. But a big thing that happens when Christians themselves, when these saints are taken away, it's hard to believe, but there is hatred between Christians, you know, and they hate various things and various people they shouldn't be, and there's pride that needs to be melted away. And Isaiah says, you can do that, God. Come down and do that for us. Take all the infirmities, you know, and I like to pray. I copy Job's prayer quite often. In fact, almost every day I mention Job's prayer about for our family, because I pray for our family. I say, because, you know, I'm not with all of our family all the time, every day and so forth. And I don't know what's going on a lot of times in their life, but I know Job had a thought, and he also was the same way. He didn't really know all that's going on with his family, but one of the things he did, he prayed. And he prayed, God, if any of our family has sinned, please cleanse us from that and so forth. And so you can pray that way. And I copy Job's prayer daily for my family. Lord, if there's any wrongness in our family, and I do that for our church family too. God, Job says, you know, that you, Almighty God, can look upon us and you hear our prayers and you will answer our prayers. And if there's something wrong, something needs to be straightened out, oh God, help it to be done today. Help it to be done today. And so, yes, we can do that. And so he can recognize that. And if we remember, look at verse 5. And he says here, thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteous, those that remember thee in thy ways. And behold, thou art wrought, and we have sinned. In those we contend, and we shall be saved. And so he's saying here from from since the beginning, men have not heard and perceived what ear will hear. And he speaks of that back in the verse there. And God wants to meet with us, and God wants to meet with them, and God wants to come down, and God wants to bless the church. And he says, I long to see this. I want to see this, God. Come down and just bless your people and make wonderful things happen for your people. The first thing is, God cleanse us, and then make us look at you and see your face and know this is where things come from, and then help us to enjoy us. As David said, let us rejoice in your goodness, Almighty God, he says here. And so God wants to come down. God wants to meet with his people. And he wants us to see, you know, and I want to see, and I know you want to see, the unspeakable glory of God. And that's when he talks about, you know, the temple. And, of course, Isaiah didn't see that Mount Zion thing, Sinai thing. But his forefathers told him about all that, and he knew that. But he did see and he had heard about the glory of God. You know, Isaiah says, I was lifted up, I saw the Lord high and lifted up in the temple, his train filled the temple and so forth, and he was seeing the glory of God. And that's what we need. We need for this nation, we need for God's people, we need for this world to see the glory of God, to see the manifestation of this wonderful God that we have that created all the things that we see, and to honor him and stand, you know, and we could just see and feel and experience the outpouring of God's graciousness on us. And he does. And the problem that prevent revival, we see in verse 6, and says, but we're all unclean. But we're all unclean. We're all as an unclean thing. And all our righteousness are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf in our iniquity, and like the wind have taken away. Lot said there. And so, you know what the unclean thing is, don't you? The Bible talks about the unclean thing. You know, the lepers were unclean. And the woman, when she gave child, she was unclean. And in her ministerial period, she's unclean. And that's what that covers, any unclean. And when a person is unclean, they can't offer sacrifices. In fact, they can't go to the worship service. They can't go to the temple. And so what is Isaiah saying? We're unclean. We can't worship you. We can't come under your umbrella, so to speak, he says. We're an unclean thing. In all of our righteousness, and he speaks about their righteousness here, they're as filthy rags. The folks that was in our 5 o'clock Bible study, we talked about that, and I don't want to discuss that this morning, and because of what, but if we remember what that means, you can understand what is being said here. We are unclean, and all of our righteousness is as filthy rags, he says, and we all do fade as a leaf. You know, isn't it wonderful? We're going to experience that here probably in another month or so. When the leaves now, the trees are loaded with green leaves, and they begin, you know, to color, and they are so beautiful, and then they begin to fade, and they dry, and the wind blows them, and they go to the ground. That's what he's talking about here of us, you know, that here's God's beautiful people, and we sin, and that sin just blows us away from God. Takes us away from God, just as the leaf does. How beautiful it is on the tree. How beautiful God's people are in his sight when they're seeking his face and honoring him. But then we sin and so forth, and we fade away, and the wind just blows us away. And we're out of God's protection. We're out of his hand of love. That's what Isaiah is speaking about here. And so here, he says we dress in our righteousness. It's almost like a person will put on their best suit and they go to church and they sit there in pride. And, you know, I'm so glad we don't have that here. But, you know, there are places, and I'm not trying to be condemnation or judgmental, but there are places, and I have been places where I've seen that happen, where one will come in and they almost, you know, And they walk in and they'll sit in a favorite spot and they'll just think, you know, I'm really something. But, you know, when you can really come down to it, we are really something. But we don't come in, you know, we come in humbly as you people do. And we're precious as our Bible study said, we're precious in the sight of God. How wonderful it is. But he says, we come in our righteousness. And, you know, If Isaiah is saying here that God looks up on our righteousness so bad, how does he look up on our unrighteousness? My, he says here in verse 6. So what keeps revival from coming to our nation? What keeps revival from coming to a church? We are corrupted by our sin. And I think as we look at the nation, we are there. We are corrupted by what's taking place, and we do fade away as a leaf. In verse 7, we are complacent in our sin. Look at verse 7, and he says this. There's none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us, and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. None that call upon thy name, none that stirs them up. And you know, I mentioned this a lot of times, you know, and I think we ought to do it, you know. We ought to prepare to come to worship service, you know. And this morning, when I said I was singing that song, when Maxine was getting ready back there and so forth, and I'm ready, and I'm sitting up there in a rocking chair, and I'm humming and start to sing that song, you know. You know what we're doing? You got to build yourself up. Build yourself up. Get yourself ready. Make ready for the Lord. And so he says here, and there's none that calleth upon the name that stirreth himself up. You know, stir ourselves up in the Lord here. Stir ourselves up in the good things of the Lord. I come to the garden alone. I'd stay there, but he bids me go, you know. Before. And there's something else we get in there. There's none that call upon thy name and stir thyself up and took hold of thee, for thou hast hid thy face. See? Because of our iniquities, he's turned away. He's hid his face. And we're not under his umbrella of love. And he never stops loving us, but you understand what I'm saying. And his protection, you know, and his guidance. And we can see that in our world. We can see that in lives, how that people turn away from God and how that misfortune comes their way because of what they're not doing or what they are doing, and because they have turned away. I mean, because of the sin, and God has turned away from them. So we have corrupted, we have complacent our sin, and we haven't stirred ourselves up and so forth. And you know, there are to be a yearning. You know, I feel like, and I really believe that you people, when you prepared to come here this morning, that you had a real feel for coming here. I hope you did, and I believe you did. And just like I said myself, I sat there and I'm just watching the clock. It's time to go. Time to go to be with God's people, you know. And I hum the song, stirring up, you know, myself, wanting to be there and wanting to be with you and wanting to be here and wanting to share some of God's word with you. You know, it's a wonderful thing. And so regardless of what's going on in your life, stir yourself up and expect to meet with God in this place when you come, he says here. Stir yourself up. I think that's a great thing in life. People need to stir themselves up in the goodness of God. You know, just a few Christians can really do a lot about revival and so forth. And seeking God's face, binding together, desiring to have that, praying to have that. People need to get together. Churches need to get together and pray for our nation, pray for revival for our nation. Individuals in the church need to get together and pray for revival for their church, and then families need to get together and pray for themselves as a family, that God will revive that family and good things happen and come their way. Certainly. You say, well, that's so simple, and that's true, and it's simple. The problem in the church is complacent. There's none that stirs themselves up. And so that's why we like to sing together, and that's why I think God put forth the music, and that's how we, you know, when we sing, that kind of stirs people up. That's why we like those jubilant songs that you have for us, you know, and those things that has filled with the goodness of God that stirs our hearts and lives up and helps us realize God's goodness, and we really want that. When God's people get right with God, then God will come down. You know, as long as a church, as long as a nation, when they are not right with God, God's not going to come down. God's not going to come down. All one day he's going to come down for judgment. But when God's people get right with him, he's going to open heaven and come down, and revival can happen. Things can happen. Things can change. Oh, I wish we had that. We are consumed. Look at verse 7. We are consumed by our sins. And again, I'm so thankful that we have churches like you people in this church, and you're so righteous. And you know that righteous thing doesn't mean that you're holier than thou, that you don't sin. That righteous thing is that you're just seeking everything that's right with God. And you want to be right with God. We want our church to be right with God. We want our people to be right with God. And so, we're consumed by our sin. And God has hidden his face. And it's a sad thought to think that Almighty God reigns in heaven and he looks down upon America, or he looks down upon the church. He looks down upon God's people, and he just has to look down. He can't do nothing because we're consumed in our sins. How can we have revival? How do we seek God's face? And the prayer that precedes revival will. Now look at verse 8, and he recognized God's sovereignty. Look what he says. But now, Lord, and Isaiah, visualize, there's Isaiah speaking toward God. And now, O Lord, thou art our Father. Listen, I mean, get something out of this word. Now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou art our potter, and we are a work of thy hand. God, we belong to you. God, we're yours. God, you created us. You're our Father. Well, let's look at the next verse. Be not wrought very sore, O Lord, neither remember iniquity far. Because, see, we beseech thee, and we are all thy people. And so he said, God, are you going to be angry with us forever? Oh, God, will you turn your anger away from us? We're your children, you know. Like a father and a son who has been disobedient. And the father's correcting him in some way. And the father's really not being to him as he'd like to be, you know. When a child is disobedient, the parent can't be what that parent wants to be for that child while they're disobedient. Doesn't mean they don't love them. Doesn't mean God doesn't love us. It just says God can't do for us what he wants to do for us in our disobedience. And so he said, remember God. Do we have to remind God? But I think that's what I said. God, remember, we're yours. We're your children. We're your people, God. And God, even though we have sinned, do something to help us out of it. Do something, God. Come down, God, and revive us. Come down, God, and straighten us out. Correct us in what we need to be corrected. We're your people, and we want to experience what fathers has for his children here. 9, be not wroth very sore, O Lord, neither remember iniquity forever. Behold, we beseech thee, we're your people. We want you to come down, God. That's what Isaiah is saying. We want you to come down and melt away the mountains of pride and bigotry and hatred and racism and all that. Come down, God. Melt that away. We're your people, and we want what you have for us. Help us, oh God, in those things. And then God wants to extend mercy. You know, he's a merciful God, and he really wants to extend mercy. He has much, you know, God would much rather forgive sin than punishment. You know, some people that talk about God's punishment, and they talk about a God that would punish people, but you know, people who fail to do what God would have them to do deserve to be punished, and we do that. God punishes his children, doesn't he? But he said, you know, God would rather forgive us than to punish us. But God cannot put away our sin by forgiving us unless what? Unless we forsake our sin. Paul says to the Galatians, God forbid, should we continue in sin that God show more grace on us, you know? No, what he's saying, he said, we need to get away from our sin so that God can bless us. And that's what, as a nation, as a church and whole, as a people, we need to get rid of our sin. We can't continue in our sin. God can't bless us if we continue in our sin. And that's what Isaiah is saying here. God wants to extend mercy. And in verse 10 and 12, as we finish, and look at what it says, and what this is just a respect for his glory. Listen to this. Thy holy city are of a wilderness. See, he's saying it's just desolate. You know how the Babylonians destroyed everything. The holy cities are a wilderness. Zion is a wilderness. Jerusalem is a desolation. If you could really grasp Isaiah's heart when he talks about this and talks about the holy city, the very gracious goodness of God and the glory that was seen there. When God dealt with his people out of the temple at Jerusalem, as he did out of the tabernacle as they came along through the wilderness, the glory was seen. What is the word? I probably pronounce it wrong. The Shekinah. The Shekinah means the glory of God. We saw his glory. When the temple was dedicated, and Solomon said, and made his speech, and the temple just erupted in glory. In glory. Oh, that we could see the glory. Glory. How does that song go? Glory. If we could just see in our land the glory of God, how wonderful it would be. And that's what Isaiah, he says, oh, if you would just come down. If you would come down and melt away all this indifferences and all the hatred and everything. Forgive us of our sins, cleanse us from that, and bring us back that we might see your glory. That we might see your glory. But one day we'll all see the glory of God. What a day that's going to be. But can we see it now? Can we see it now, God? Isaiah said, we can see it. We just need to want it. Do you really want to see the glory of God? Do you really want to experience God's wonder-working power in your life? Do you want the grace? And grace is favor. I pray daily, God, have favor on me, a sinner. You know, I like that verse that says, you know, of the publican and the Pharisee that came. I know that too often, and probably I've been guilty of that, going to God as a Pharisee. But in my life now, I always want to come God, I always want to come to God as a publican, you know. And I want that to be part of my prayer. Oh God, have mercy on me, a sinner. On me, a sinner. And I know God, that's what God wants. God wants to have mercy on his people. Wants to forgive his people, wants his glory to be experienced and shown. Almighty God, pray for God's revival. Might we all, in our lives, even daily, see God's glory at work as we stand and sing.
Waiting to to enter your heart. Why not you him to me? There's nothing in the world to keep her apart. What is your answer to him? Time after time he has waited before, and he is waiting again to see it willing to open the door. Oh, how he wants to come in. Thank you, wonderful people, for being in God's great house, and thank you for just caring and being concerned for one another. Thank you for honoring God. Thank you for seeking God. And may as you go forth this week, that everywhere you turn, you might see the glory of God manifested in your life and the lives of those around you. God bless you. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, through all your might and power and all the condemnation you could bring upon mankind, but you love us and forgive us, and your grace is always with us. And might we go this week, Heavenly Father, and might we see your glory just shining in all places, Heavenly Father. And Heavenly Father, might we shine for Jesus Christ, your Son and our Savior. And Heavenly Father, we pray now that you would bless each one that's present. Help us as we leave here, dear God. Guide us in safety. Help us, Heavenly Father, to never turn from your face. Help us to be always under your umbrella of protection and guidance. Make all good things this week work out for good for our people. We praise you and thank you for it, even now, in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.